Welcome to the No Guilt Mom Podcast. I am your host, Joanne Crone, joined here by my delightful co-host, Bree Tucker.
Why, hello, hello, everybody. How are you? I love delightful.
Delightful. You are delightful.
I'm a delightful pumpkin spice loving kind of gal today.
Oh, the pumpkin spice. You know what? Controversial opinion. I do not like pumpkin spice.
I know, but I still love you.
I know. It's okay. Well, thank you for still loving me when I don't love pumpkin spice.
I will say pumpkin spice is not for everyone, but I am one of those sad creatures that's like pumpkin spice everything. Cookies, cake, coffee. You give it to me pumpkin spice. Pumpkin spice ice cream. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. That's how my daughter is too. She's on a pumpkin spice kick. And so right now in the house, she found that there's pumpkin spice goldfish. So like the grams, goldfish grams, pumpkin spice goldfish grams. And there's also pumpkin spice Cheerios that we have in our pantry as well.
I've had those. Yeah. I have. They were okay. They weren't as good as I hoped.
Yeah. But well, it's funny because my son feels the same way about pumpkin spice as I do. Like he took a Cheerio out. He's like, Mom, taste this. It just tastes wrong. It tastes wrong. And I'm like, oh, buddy, I love you. Yeah,
it's like a little cult we belong to. I don't know what to say. It comes out of us like once a year, right? Like the rest of the year, I'm fine. I'm not pumpkin spice crazy. But, you know, as soon as Starbucks rolls around with the latte, it's like, okay, it's pumpkin spice from pumpkin spice season.
Exactly. It's what my daughter says. It's like closer to Christmas. And since it's closer to Christmas, it's good.
Yeah.
But we, oh my gosh, Brie, how excited were we to get this interview with Eve Rotsky? Like, I think I talk about Eve Rotsky all the time and her work and everything she's done about talking about this dynamic in the home where women are expected to do everything and don't value their time as much as like men value their time.
Exactly. No, I was so excited too, because like you mentioned, like we base so much of the work we do on her books like Fair Play and Unicorn Space. You talk about it all the time. And I 100% feel like Eve gets it. She gets it. And her goal is to have everybody else get it.
Yes, yes. And like, I was just thinking about her after we had her interview the next morning. My dog always sleeps in my daughter's room. And she, when I opened the door that morning, my dog had, you know, pooped in the room. And I'm like, okay, great. I'm just going to take the dog on a walk and I'm going to tell my husband that it's there and we'll see what happens. And when I came back, nothing had happened. My daughter was still asleep in her bed, like poop in the room, Brie.
How did she sleep through it?
No, I don't know. Like, it's like the most disgusting thing in the world to me. And so immediately I'm like, okay, I'm going to get my like doggy vacuum, which is amazing. And I'm going to clean this up. But it got me thinking. I'm like, and I asked my daughter, I'm like, whose job is it to clean up after our dog? And she's like, I don't know. And I'm like, no, really, whose job is it? Because I am always the one who's doing it. Like, we've never talked about this as a family. And something that Eve mentions and listen for in the interview is about talking about who is responsible for what. Because if you don't have those discussions as a family, guess who ends up doing everything?
It's 100% true. Okay, if you're listening to this and you have a pet, tell me that as the mom, the bulk of everything doesn't fall on your shoulders. Like, and that's the other thing too. Like, maybe the kids will feed the dog if that is their chore. But if you don't have those tasks assigned, I can guarantee you it falls on mom's shoulders.
Yes. So listen to our interview with Eve Rotsky, because oh my gosh, you are going to pick up some nuggets that are going to change your life. Eve is a New York Times bestselling author of Fair Play, and her new book is a national bestseller, Find Your Unicorn Space. And we hope you enjoy our conversation with Eve. So if you're looking for another podcast to add into your rotation, go check out our friends, Brittany and Heather at the Okayest Moms. Their podcast is available wherever you listen to the No Guilt Mom podcast. And it's a podcast for the imperfect modern mom. A lot like what we do here at No Guilt Mom. And every Tuesday, Brittany and Heather talk about a range of motherhood topics. They believe that every mom deserves an identity outside of motherhood. Yes, check. Self-care is more than just a shower, and that motherhood looks differently for everyone. If you love No Guilt Mom, you are going to love the Okayest Moms podcast. And don't miss the monthly Okayest Moms Moments episodes, where they share real-life stories of the messy, imperfect side of motherhood. And I was recently recently a guest on their podcast and they asked me my okayest mom moment at the end, and go find that episode. I'm not going to tell you here. It's a good one too. It's a good one. So check out the Okayest Moms podcast everywhere you listen to No Guilt Mom.
You want mom life to be easier. That's our goal too. Our mission is to raise more self-sufficient and independent kids, and we're going to have fun doing it. We're going to help you delegate and step back. Each episode, we'll tackle strategies for positive discipline, making our kids more responsible, and making our lives better in the process. Welcome to the No Guilt Mom Podcast.
Eve, welcome to the No Guilt Mom Podcast. You are such an inspiration to me and I think to all the No Guilt Mom community. And it's such an honor to have you here.
Oh, I feel the same way. I was sort of binging both of your work this weekend. And I feel like this community is really spot on to what we're trying to achieve with the Fair Play movement. So thank you for having me.
And that's a good assessment because it is spot on.
It is spot on. And I have to admit, I found you. My mother-in-law gave me a copy of your book for Christmas.
Oh my God.
And she gave me and my sister-in-law a copy. And she's like, here you go. And she was actually just going through a divorce for my father-in-law. And I was sitting on the couch after Christmas reading it, and tears were just running down my face because I'm like, oh my gosh, all of these inner thoughts and dialogue that you were talking about in this book, I go through all the time. So can you give us a little backstory? What made you realize that something needed to change in the way that men and women are running the house?
First of all, let's shout out your mother-in-law because that's usually the opposite of a lot of mother-in-laws. What do you have to complain about? You know, my life was a lot worse. So I love that she sounds like she really understands the gravity of this work. So I write about this a lot, right? This problem started for me from a text my husband Seth sent me that said, I'm surprised you didn't get blueberries.
Oh.
And
the thoughts that went through your head at that moment, I'm sure.
Yes. As I clear my throat, I'm surprised you didn't get blueberries. And Seth is like, wow, I wonder how our life would be different if I hadn't sent you that text that day. But it probably would have come out in other ways because there was a real time in my life after my second son, Ben, was born. And I'll just back up and say that I did not expect to be an expert on the gender division of labor. That was not on my third grade, what do you want to be when you grow up board, which probably said, you know, veterinarian. I mean, this is not, I'm resolutely Gen X. I was told that my education would afford me the same opportunities as men. I was told that that would get me out of my working class household. I believed it. I sort of rose, you know, in the ranks of education. I kept getting scholarships places. And I get to law school also on loans and scholarship. I go to Harvard. And I remember sitting in Elizabeth Warren's orientation. She was doing our orientation and also asking us what we wanted to be when we grew up. And I still thought I was going to be president and a senator and a Nick City dancer, like all at once.
All of those, all at once.
But at once, because yeah. I was like, well, I'm like, yeah, I can have it all. And like legislators are lazy. You know, they end their sessions at like 3 or 4, and then you could just issue your executive orders right after hours at night, and you can fly Air Force One in to dance at Madison Square Garden and then just change for your state dinners on the plane. Gosh, right?
We need to see that, the dancer and legislator. I think that would be great.
Right. And president.
And president. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so I think that idea of like smashing glass ceilings felt very exciting to me. And I really thought I was going to be doing that. And then, you know, I cut to 13 years later, and really the only thing I could tell you I was actually smashing was, you know, peas for my toddler probably at that point.
Yeah.
And so I think really around the time that my trust in Seth was eroding because he was sending me things and I'm breaking down over text, like, I'm surprised you didn't get blueberries because I'm being defined as the fulfiller of his smoothie needs. At the same time, while I was being emotionally abandoned by him, my job was also emotionally abandoning me because I was about to come back from maternity leave for my second son, Ben. That's when all this stuff started going down in 2011. My job basically said to me, you know, if you're going to come back here, you know, your amazing benefit is you can pump in a broom closet.
Yeah. How lovely of them. Yeah.
How lovely of them, right? Mm-hmm. There's a private space called a broom closet that we cleared out for you. We even put a desk in there.
Oh, yeah. My work gave me a computer. They were like, oh, we put a computer in here so you could work.
You can work while you're pumping. I love it.
Because you're going to be in here for half an hour. What else would you be doing?
What else would you be doing? Exactly. What else? And also, there was no outlet. I just remember that thinking like, oh, so I have to get one of those weird battery packs. It was like a disaster. And then on top of it, life was going to be so hard for me when I came back. They decided to give my direct reports, which is really the only thing I wanted to do there, was supervise people and manage a team. They gave my direct reports to another woman on my team, a childless woman. Yeah. So that I wanted to set that scene because I think it becomes a personal, but also this is personal is political, right? Private lives are public issues. And the problem is this becomes such an isolating problem where you start to be gaslit to believe that you're not good enough, that mm-hmm. something's wrong with you, that you're not the one setting the boundaries with your husband. And so I think even though I wrote Fair Play to Women, and yes, your mother-in-law gave it to you, the woman, what I always say is that the reason why I do that is not because I don't think men need to be part of this, and we have a lot of male readers, but it's because we become so beat down and complicit in our own oppression because of what's happening around us, that this book is really written to women to say you're not alone.
You have probably heard me talk about my dog, Addie, before. And when we first got her, we didn't know that she was a counter surfer. Now, counter surfing animals are the ones who jump on counters, especially kitchen counters, when you're not looking and take stuff off of them. Well, in this instance, Addie had jumped onto the kitchen counter and eaten an entire bottle of my other dog's pain medication. You can imagine the freak out that ensued from me. So imagine this. You're at the vet's office again. Knowing that vet care costs continue to rise, you're anxiously waiting to hear how expensive the bill will be. But if you had pet insurance, your pet could be covered for accidents or illnesses. That's why you should check out ASPCA Pet Health Insurance.
The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customizable accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care that they may need. They allow you to customize the plan, helping ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are.
The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. Because vet bills can really add up, especially when you're least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim and you'll receive reimbursement for eligible vet bills directly into your bank account.
To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/no-guilt. That's aspcapetinsurance.com/no-guilt. Again, that's aspcapetinsurance.com/no-guilt.
This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independence American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer and is not engaged in the business of insurance.
Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples. Hey guys, Bree here. And let me tell you, April is a killer time of the year for me because it is crazy allergy season. I swear, everything that is in bloom looks fantastic and beautiful, but it makes it so I can't breathe. I am literally coughing, sneezing, rubbing my nose. I look like Rudolph half of the spring. It's terrible. But luckily for those of us who live with symptoms of allergies like I do, we live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. Designed for serious allergy sufferers, Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieve your allergy symptoms
and decongest your nose so you can finally breathe better. This double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine is the best decongestant available. It relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy, watery eyes, itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. I absolutely love it. It is the only allergy medicine that works for me. So if you're ready to live life as if you don't have allergies, it's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just one quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear.
We do. We start to believe that. Like, one of the things that you wrote that hit me really hard was the money issue, thinking that, well, my husband goes and he makes more money at his job, and therefore his time is somehow more valuable than my time. And just you writing in there that being like, time is equal and it doesn't matter. Like, it was such a weight lifted from me. And I'm like, you know what? You're damn right. Time is equal.
Well, I think that's a narrative that so many of us tell ourselves because it can be quantified, right? Like, we look at it and go, okay, if so-and-so makes X amount of money, like, honestly, that was my first marriage. And my ex would say that to me all the time. Listen, hun, I make three times what you do. So my time is more valuable. You're the one who needs
I'm
to take
off.
I'm very
glad he's because, your ex.
Because the dogs are sick or the kids are sick or we need to have somebody come and repair the house. You're the one that has to take time off, even though, honestly, in my job, I was managing a department of 50 people. He took care of himself. Mm-hmm. But somehow his time was more important than mine. And we tell ourselves that.
Yeah.
And it's so wrong.
Yeah. Well, I think that for me, you know, what we're going to unpack today, I think really, because this you're a solutions oriented podcast, this is any, it's a unicorn space. I want to say, keep doing it again, whether you make $1 or $1 billion, this is a unicorn space. We'll talk about that to your listeners. But I do think the beauty of what I've learned in 10 years is that the air is polluted, yes, but it doesn't mean you can't breathe. And the way you breathe, there is a secret formula. And we saw it, and I've seen it now again. I have the longest longitudinal study of unpaid labor, I would say, in the world. I mean, I've been studying this now for 10 years. But the beauty is there's a secret formula. If you have boundaries, systems, and communication in a relationship, and it doesn't just have to be the hetero cisgender relationships, even that's what we're talking about. We're centering that today on purpose because that's where all of these stereotypes come from. All my LGBTQIA families that I talk to, they say that inevitably someone has asked them, who's the woman, who's the man, right? These are stereotypes that go back and really box us in. So we need to break free from these stereotypes. And really the way you break free from assumption is this idea of structured decision-making. And the way you get there is the secret formula of boundary systems and communication. We'll get to the systems and communication, but the reason why I wanted to pause there to tell you the secret formula is because what you were just alluding to your listeners was the boundaries piece.
Mm-hmm.
Because I wish I could tell you that a boundary was a walk around the block was a drink with a friend, right? We hear that a lot, but a true boundary is believing your time is equal to somebody else's time.
Yeah, I always think like a boundary, it's really easy to like think of a boundary that you want to set, but it's even harder to stay with it because all of this stuff comes into you where you're like, oh, you know what, for this time, like he's busy with work. I'll take this over this time. Or like, oh, I it's just easier for me to go get the kids. I'll go get the kids this time. And then those boundaries become so muddled that you don't even know what boundary you set anymore.
Yeah.
And then when people push back on your boundary, because you're in a place, like you said, where, oh, maybe I should believe this, it's hard. And so let's just talk a little bit about boundaries a little more, because I'd say this is the thing that took me 10 years. The system is easy. The communication is easy once you believe your time is equal to your partner's time and to people around you. But the reason why we don't have a boundary to believe our time is diamonds, and I always say this, right, it's because as a society, we have conditioned women to believe their time is infinite.
Mm-hmm.
Our time is sand.
Like you and can we get guard everything as a, done.
Yes, get everything done.
If you're just organized enough, you can get everything done.
If you just wake up, you know, at 2 a.m. I remember this one woman said to me, so everyone around me is telling me to get my me time and it's inching back to 2:30 in the morning. Uh-huh. I was like, what are you talking about? I'm waking up at 2:30 in the morning to get my me time. I was like, okay, this is something's really wrong. with the societal messages of self-care, if that's what you think it takes to get time in for you.
Yeah. And if you think
I think it's okay. But the real problem is that when you believe your time is sand and someone else's time is diamonds, it's hard to set a boundary because we have been told since birth that, you know, breastfeeding is free, right? Mm-hmm. So when that's like an 1800 hour a year job, yeah. We as women, we hear mess, we see, so there's something called occupational segregation. If women enter a male profession, salaries automatically come down. So all around us, we're seeing the messaging that women's time is less valuable. But as you said earlier, the worst thing is that it seeps into our rationale of why we breach our boundaries. And so I'll ask your listeners, have you ever said to yourself one of these four things? Because this was the most popular for what I call toxic time messages, because they are toxic, they are wrong. But if you've ever said to yourself, either my partner makes more money than me, so I'm the one who picks up the kids when they're sick, or my job is more flexible, so I'm the one who does the extra planning of the birthday party and the family trips. Or if you say to yourself, in the time it takes me to tell him, her, they what to do, I should do it myself.
That's when we hear a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or if you've ever heard, you know, I'm a better multitasker, somehow I'm wired differently for care. I'm wired differently to see that the kids' underwear has gotten small on them. That all of those messages, even the message of, well, we're both in the same job, but my partner is better at focusing on one task at a time, mm-hmm. and I can find the time. What I'm just here to say is what all those have in common is, A, they're wrong. There's no gender difference in how we multitask. The time is not money, because that would make no sense, because women always get paid less. So it means we always have to do more. So that doesn't make any sense. If you think of in the time it takes me to tell him, her, they what to do now, it doesn't make sense to tell them I should do it. That's devaluing of all your future time. A behavioral economist named Dan Ariely helped me unpack that. So just assume and believe me that all those things are wrong and you shouldn't say them to yourselves. Well, then what it comes down to is that the real Kaiser Soze, if you remember Usual Suspects, the thing that really got me thinking, oh my God, this is a boundaries issue, is that what it comes down to is that women's day is set for them. Like we don't have time choice. So like, I remember thinking, Seth, you have 3 hours after our kids go to bed to watch SportsCenter, work out, finish a PowerPoint deck. Whereas I've expected every hour of this day has been predetermined for me, especially since I've had children. And that's the big problem. We need as much time choice as our partners. And that requires men, often men who, if we're married to men, to do more things that they don't choose.
Yeah. So let's talk more about that. Like, how do you see our days predetermined for us? And whereas like men's aren't?
Well, and this again, this, if you read both of my books, you'll see a lot of science that proves this, is because we are not allowed to be anything other than three things. We're allowed to be parents. Women are allowed to be parents. We're allowed to be partners in our society. Or we're allowed to be professionals. And by professionals, I mean anybody who works for pay. You could be working in retail, you know, essential workers, knowledge workers, but we're allowed to be those three things. But if you ask women, when was the last time the most important thing you did that day was outside of those three things?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean,
you're right.
I'm just thinking of mine, and I'm like,
women could not answer that question. Mm-hmm. And in my 10 years, men could. And that also is backed up by science, which shows that men have more leisure time than women. And also, it's also backed up by the fact that even when women make more money than their partners, they end up doing more unpaid labor more childcare. So even the money doesn't let them predetermine what they do for their day.
Yeah.
Our day is predetermined for us as parents, partners, and professionals. And God forbid you assert the need to be unavailable from your roles. Just watch what happens. I say to women, close your eyes, picture the phone ringing. It's your school. Don't pick it up. Don't pick it up. And women will tell me that even from that scenario of just playing with me in the exercise, that their stress responses start, that their heart starts pounding.
Yeah. Heart, blood pressure going up. Like I would have that. Just you saying that, like the idea of me imagining it is making me feel anxious inside.
Hey, all, it is Joanne.
And Bree here.
And we want to tell you about a podcast that you should check out. It's called Understood Explained. This season of the show is hosted by teacher and special education expert Juliana Uturbe, and it's all about how to navigate individual education plans, also known as IEPs.
And in this latest season of Understood Explained, it covers topics like how to tell if your child needs an IEP, and it busts common myths about special education. We actually just listened to the episode, IEPs, Does My Child Need an IEP? And here is what we loved about it.
I loved that it was so digestible. Like, it was such a short episode. And all of the topics, which could be really confusing to parents, were easily explained.
And I loved how they gave great concrete examples, because you know how much I love me a good example. They explained what kind of services and supports you could actually see on a child's IEP or individual education plan. And they explained those acronyms. That nothing drives me more crazy than when there's acronyms and I don't get it. I don't know what it stands for. They took the time to explain everything in so much detail and to cover concerns that a lot of families have about special ed services.
To listen to Understood Explains, search for Understood Explains in your podcast app. That's Understood Explains. Or just click on the link in our show notes.
I'm Margaret.
And I'm Amy.
And together we host the podcast, What Fresh Hell? Laughing in the Face of Motherhood.
Margaret, I would say you're sort of a where are my keys kind of mom.
Correct. Sometimes a where are my kids kind of mom. Well, you're, Amy, more of a we were supposed to leave 35 seconds ago, mom.
I mean, touche. In each episode of What Fresh Hell, we come at a topic from our usually completely opposite perspectives. I bring the research.
And I bring kind of the gimlet eye. Like, is that research really going to work, people?
And almost 10 million downloads later, we're still laughing.
We also talk to experts in the parenting field, plus parents with stories we can all learn from.
We make each other laugh, we challenge each other's assumptions, and we have what we think is the best parenting community on the internet.
Check out What Fresh Hell, Laughing in the Face of Motherhood, wherever you listen to podcasts.
So like that situation actually happened to me where we were in a presentation, a live presentation, and my son got sick. He went to the nurse and they called me first. And they called me and I had it on Do Not Disturb. So thankfully I had no idea this was happening. Else I think my stress response would have gone up. They called me three times before they tried my husband. Yeah. And when they tried my husband, he's like, yeah, sure. And we've had a lot of work and thankfully to your work, he knows. He's like, yep, I'll come pick you up. And he texted me. He's like, hey, his school called. I'm going to go pick him up. But then when my son came home, they were like, yeah, the nurse was like saying how he couldn't get a hold of you, mom. And I'm like, he had a perfectly capable dad who answered the phone immediately and was there.
But all the judgment went on you.
All the judgment went on me.
For not answering. Because
I do remember 100% that one of my good friends who's a lawyer, she was asked in a panel, you know, is it hard being a good mom and working full-time as a partner? And she said, well, I've never aspired to be a good mom. I've just aspired to be a great dad.
Oh, see, and there you go.
Yeah, there was something else that came up and be like, all like moms have to compare themselves to are all these like sitcom moms who have everything together and everything great. And dads, when they look at like the society depiction of dads, it's like the screw up, like deadbeat dad. Allen. And they're like, well, I'm better than that. So I'm good.
Oh, yeah.
And I will say, I just finished reading Wonder. That was the book assigned for my son's fifth grade class. I don't know if you've ever seen it. Yeah. But this mother, oh, my God. I mean, it's never from her perspective. It's all the kids' perspectives. And I just kept saying, like, why not just write one chapter from her perspective? Like, why? Yeah. She's literally portrayed as the perfect mother. She never screams at her kids. She homeschools her disabled son. She's there for everybody. It's just a very unrealistic depiction. And I said to my son, I hope you don't think that motherhood should be like this because you know I'm not like that. And I don't want you getting any wrong ideas. Yeah. About what it means to be a good mother in this society. So we talk a lot about that.
Yeah. So once people have realized that these thoughts are going through their heads and that they really have a hard time setting the boundaries, like, how do you follow through on these boundaries that you're setting? How do you prevent yourself from thinking, oh my gosh, like I should really drop everything I'm doing right now because my child needs me right now or my spouse needs me right now?
Well, because I think we have to look at the costs. And then again, we can talk about the beauty, which is, you know, the what you get when you have time choice. I mean, not only is your partnership better and you have time, as we were calling it, for this idea of unicorn space, things that are not three P's of parenting, partnering, professional, you know, professionalizing. Mm-hmm. But I think the true cause for me are really looking at women now. I said I have like about 10 years of following women, and we're partnering with a major healthcare company right now because they're looking at fair play as a preventative health intervention.
Oh,
because
cool.
One of the most disappointing relationships that women were reporting to me and also to this healthcare provider was the relationship with their OBGYN. Hmm. Because the one of the number one feelings women were having in my study about that relationship, the word abandonment kept coming up over and over again. I want to feel that attention again, so I'll have another child. Realizing that the OBGYN was really there for the baby. And then the 6-week checkup is really to check to make sure that your body can be re-entered again by a penis.
Yeah. That's it.
Mm-hmm. And that's it. That's it, really, from that person. And you move on to the pediatrician, which is about the kid. No one ever asks about you. Mm-hmm. And so really, and then maybe what you see there, the only thing you may see there in your office is, you know, a cord blood brochure, you know, if you're lucky. But there's really no warning about the aspects that, you know, if you're married to a man or partner with a man, that they do 5 to 15 hours less after kids come, that people get, that assumptions become way more in the forefront of people's minds as opposed to structured decision-making. So you could have a very equal relationship and then assumptions will pop up. These are all very normal things. Mm-hmm. And I think if we normalize them, it would be a lot easier to talk about. So the cost is, we have thousands and thousands, thank God, of people like you, you know, who have been introduced to fair play, who have part of the practice in their life. Mm-hmm. But in the beginning, I had a big study of women, and 200 of those women identified, this is 10 years ago, that they were holding 67 tabs. Mm-hmm. So now we're getting to the systems part. Fair play is a system based on 100 cards. It's a card game you can play and discuss and use in many different ways. But at that time, 10 years ago, it was just a spreadsheet, the shit I do spreadsheet, mm-hmm. which I had created for Seth. Once I realized that lists don't work, I had to start developing a system and put my ass in gear and become my own client. Once I realized that I can ask the most important question I've ever asked in 10 years, we could move on to the systems piece, which is, why do we not treat our homes as our most important organization? Mm-hmm. How do we get to a place where my Aunt Marion's Mahjong group has more clearly defined expectations in the home? You don't bring snack twice to that group, you're out. Whereas the home, as one man said to me, well, we wait to decide who's taking the dog out every day, right? When it's about to take a piss on the rug.
Yeah.
So that decision fatigue is leading, because we're still in the question of why this is so important and what happens if you don't believe that these boundaries need to be held. Mm-hmm. Those women who were reporting to hold 67 tabs, which mm-hmm. are now the cards, mm-hmm. and work for pay. Mm-hmm. Every single one of those women over the past 10 years has reported to me a stress-related illness. Mm. So hair loss was number two. Number one was insomnia. Number three was SSRI use. Number four was thyroid and autoimmune disease. Five is cancer. And there were many, many other variations. And then if they were not being treated by a doctor for a stress-related illness, they were self-medicating by yeah. telling me that they start taking edibles on the weekend at 11 a.m. to get through their day, or they're drinking 2 to 3 or more glasses of wine every night. To basically numb themselves through dinner and after. That mommy juice, you know, mm-hmm. is sort of funny, but not. And so I think looking at us as women now over 10 years, I can see the health-related reasons why you need to do this. Mm-hmm. I'm here to tell your listeners, we have to get this right, because otherwise you're going to be sick. And I can't have you sick, because women need to be in positions of power. And the more we're sick, they can't be in positions of power. So it's in my best interest to make sure that you all out there stay healthy.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. Like what you said right there, I just like dropped to my seat. Like because I see it too. I see it in myself. Like even though I feel like I have a very supportive husband, it's still all of these expectations that I put on myself to keep everything on the air and everything going. And I think women, we get together and we say like how much we have to do. And it's almost like a badge of honor when we have our homes running nicely and everything looks pretty and organized. And that takes a lot of work to get there. And it's work that's not shared by our partners. It's work that's totally taken on by ourselves. So that
and it's a full-time job.
It's a full-time job. So that's the thing.
So if you have more than a full-time job and then you're doing anything else, literally anything else, you're going to be sick. I mean, that's what it comes down to. And it's really, really, and then of course, you know, back to the theme of your beautiful work, right? The guilt and shame on top of it is just another layer to help us stay in our place. I had this one beautiful single mom who was saying to me, she had read my second book, which will come on and hopefully do another round about just unicorn space and the beauty of when you get this right, when you have that time back, whether it's to have a beautiful podcast like this, where you're curious and connected and you complete something, that's the cycle of a unicorn space. But this woman said to me, okay, I believe you, Eve, that I deserve to have something outside of my three P's. And she was a single mom. And what she told me was that she lives in a rent stabilized building in New York City where Juilliard students live. Mm-hmm. And there is a piano room. And so she brought all this amazing, bought all these, this amazing sheet music like Hamilton and Rent. And she was going to play piano again because she hadn't played since she had her child. And again, as a single parent with not a very supportive co-parent, it's mostly all, I mean, it's all on her. And then she said that she started to play and she was so excited to get into this piano room. And then there was a window on the left side of the room, she said, and she watched sort of the sunset and her heart started pounding back to that stress response that her child doesn't like being left in daycare when it's dark out. And, you know, in New York in the winter, it gets dark at like 3:30. So she wanted to keep him there till like around 5, but it was 3:30 and she could see the clouds coming down over wherever Hudson River and her heart was pounding. And she left her sheet music there and she went to get him. And then she actually said she actually left it in the room, which made me even more sad. Like she forgot to even collect it. She like left it on the piano. And so I think like that left the abandoned sheet music to me. Like I tear up still and I hear these stories all the time and it makes me so sad for the fact that this woman, I say poor woman to all of us, that this guilt and shame of not being there to pick up her toddler and he was safe and fine, but she said it was just, it wouldn't have been enjoyable for her to practice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I get that. Mm-hmm. I totally get that. I've had that many times. Yeah. Well, Eve, it is like, I could talk to you forever.
And I want to just end on one last thing, which is, I think we're going through, especially with your themes, right? About, you know, how do you break free of guilt, which I think is a really, if it overtakes you, it can be a mental health issue. And guilt is a really strange emotion because like that woman, the piano single mom I was telling you about, it's one of the only emotions where you act on it right there. Like if you're sad, you know, or you're happy, there's not, when I'd ask people, are you acting on those? No, I feel it, you know, I'm living in it. But if it's a guilt, there's often a behavior change with it. Mm-hmm. You may not have wanted to do like that woman changing her mind not to practice piano and go pick up her child. So I would say is guilt an interesting one because it comes with this behavior piece of it. So that I just wanted to end on that. If you feel guilty, if you feel that shame, try to write it down. Think about it for a minute. One of the exercises I love to do is I like to say, I feel guilty because I'm not putting Anna to bed. And I change it to, I made the decision not to put Anna to bed because, and I write that down. And then often allows me to continue on with what I was going to do as opposed to breaking the cycle and changing my behavior over guilt.
I love that. I'm going to use that. I'm sure I have an opportunity today.
And I will help you. I will help you, your spiritual friend, on that journey.
Oh, thank you.
Yes.
Eve, it's been wonderful talking to you. Thank you so much for being our guest on the podcast. And we look forward to many more conversations.
Yes. Thank you.
I could have talked to Ivrotsky like all day. And I know we were up against a time block at the end.
We were. But, you know, the great thing about us being able to talk to her all day is that we're looking at having her come back again.
She's going to come back again. Yes. Which is so exciting. So we hope you enjoyed our conversation with Eve. Make sure to go and share this podcast with every other mom that you think needs to hear it, because we really do need to hear it. As Eve said in the interview, we cannot afford to be sick. Like, we need to get these things off of our shoulders now so that we have our health and we have the energy to make change for the future. So remember, the best mom is a happy mom. Take care of you, and we'll talk to you later.
Thanks for stopping by.
If you're a parent, I invite you to join us at the Mindful Mama podcast, where it's all about becoming a less irritable, more joyful parent. With sometimes hilarious and always thought-provoking experts and friends, at Mindful Mama, we know that you cannot give what you do not have. And when you have calm and peace within, then you can give it to your children. I'm Hunter Clark Fields, and I can't wait to see you there. Listen in to the Mindful Mama podcast.